Welcome once again to the Og Blog Podcast. If you're suffering from psoriasis, you need the best information on how to deal with your affliction, you've come to the wrong place. I'm here to discuss books of and about and related to the Peanuts comic strip. I'll be your host for this episode, and because I tire of having episodes where you hear my voice, today's special guest will be the sound buttons from various interactive Peanuts books.
I gotta rock.
Today, I'm going to talk to you about Peanuts reference works. Not reference works about Peanuts, although there are certainly things out there that would qualify, like the Peanuts Family Album or Price Guides to Peanuts Tchotchkes. No, I'm here to ramble on about reference works that feature the Peanuts characters. Now, things like the Charlie Brown Dictionary. In fact, things very like the Charlie Brown Dictionary. Okay, heck, I'm just going to talk about the Charlie Brown Dictionary. The Charlie Brown Dictionary landed on this earth in 1973, published by the World Publishing Company, the same company that was publishing the book adaptations of Peanuts animated specials at the time. It wasn't actually a new book, but rather a reworked one. They'd started with something called the Rainbow Dictionary, a 1947's children's dictionary, although they used the later 1959 edition, and then updated its word choices and replaced its examples with Peanuts-oriented examples, its illustrations with Peanuts character examples. And the first thing that you run into if you open the Charlie Brown Dictionary is an explanation. It's 3 pages of relatively small type about the book itself. Now, I've got a copy of the 1947 Rainbow Dictionary, and that had an explanation as well, written by the dictionary's author, Wendell W. Wright, who is not, alas, the www of www.dictionary.com. But at least that explanation began, "Children grow up in a world of bewildering words." That is how you start an explanation of why a child needs a dictionary. No, the explanation in the Charlie Brown Dictionary starts out, "The Charlie Brown Dictionary is a new dictionary based on the classic model, the Rainbow Dictionary, published originally in 1947, and in a new copyright edition in 1959, and a bestseller in its field since publication." That's right, it starts out by telling you that this dictionary is a dictionary, and it's really based on another dictionary, and the important thing to know is the revision copyright date.
Good grief.
Both of these explanations are clearly for the parents rather than the kids. If your kid can understand them, they really don't need to be able to have the word about explained to them. I'd like to think that kids just figured out to skip over the explanation and go right to the meat of the book, the part that was meant for them. Yes, I'd really like to think that. The Rainbow Dictionary method was more about using words in context in a way that they would be largely understood than it is the standard form of dictionary definition. And if needed, they add another sentence that means the same thing but doesn't use the word, thus implying the word's meaning. So, for example, we find in the Rainbow Dictionary's G section, "Gather. Mother will gather the children and take them home. Mother will get the children together and take them home. Gave. Bill gave me an orange. He did not ask me to pay for it. Gay. Bob and Ellen were gay. Bob and Ellen were happy." When we pop over to the Charlie Brown Dictionary, we find that some things have been edited a bit. In the definition for gather, for example, the phrase "mother will get the children together" has been changed to "mother will bring the children together." Some things have been simply removed. Sometime between 1947 and 1973, I'm going off the 1947 edition, I don't have the 1959 of the Rainbow Dictionary, but sometime between 47 and 73, it was apparently decided that children don't need to know the word gave. And some things were peanut-sized. Snoopy is gay. Snoopy is happy. And that's accompanied by a picture of Snoopy doing his happy dance. This is 1973, of course. The word gay was certainly in use as a less clinical-sounding term for homosexual, but it was wielded less commonly, and the use probably still felt queer to many people, under the 1973 definition of queer, of course, which, if you're wondering, is a dragon is a queer-looking animal. A dragon is a strange-looking animal. The cat's paws are queer. The cat's paws are different from most. The art in the dictionary is culled from both the strip and from the book adaptations of the animated specials, as those were nice color images that the publisher already had on hand. Now, the Charlie Brown Dictionary came, and it's a thick book, around 400 pages. But that's if you bought it as a single volume. World Publishing was certainly willing to find ways to squeeze more money out of its breaking it down into pieces. They came out with an 8-volume set, with the exact same content, plus some added maps, just but it was fewer pages per volume. If you look at one of the later volumes, you might think that the book has a lot of pages. But that's because you're looking at the page numbers. Instead of each book starting over with page one, each book starts where the previous volume left off, so that when volume three, covering words which starts with the letter F through H, ends on page 192, then volume four starts on 193. For those of you doing math, yes, this is 64 pages per volume. So the page count is on total is higher than the one-volume edition because of the added title pages and, as I mentioned before, the added maps. They have maps of all 50 states plus the U.S. and Canada. That was helpful in filling out pages when you ended at the end of a certain letter and there's still a few pages left. Each letter is complete within one volume of the 8-volume edition of the dictionary. Now, why would they do that? Why would anyone buy an 8-volume series of partial dictionaries rather than one big one? Now, these are being marketed in supermarkets, which is something I've not seen in a few years, and even then it was much less common than when I was growing up. Supermarkets would sell a series of kids' books, and the first volume would be very cheap, a dollar or a quarter or some such. Then each week they would make another volume available at a higher price than that first volume. But of course now you had part of the set, you had to complete it, right? They were still pretty cheap as hardback books go, but then they were pretty thin as hardback books go. The supermarket got the advantage that you had to keep coming back to them week after week if you wanted the full set. There are some series where the first volumes are very easy to find on the used market, but the later ones, not so much, because many people ended up giving up partway through. They bought the cheapest volumes and decided they didn't need the more expensive ones. Now, I don't know exactly when the 8-volume set was issued because World Publishing was always lousy about printing information. The 8-volume set has a first printing 1973 listing in its copyright page, but that may well have just been copied from the 1-volume edition. And in addition to the 8-volume edition, there's also a 6-volume edition that came later. I'm not sure exactly when, but I know it came later. How do I know? Well, because some of the places in the books themselves, where they refer to it being a 6-volume set, there's a lot of space around the word 6. Clearly, they just took the same page they'd already laid out for the 8-volume set and replaced the word 8 with the shorter word 6, leaving a lot of air to either side. This 6-volume edition does away with the maps and does put the books in the middle of the letters. So, you know, the first book has all the definitions that start with the letter A and the letter B, and those that start with the letter C only up to the word count. And that definition is actually split between two books. Volume 1 just has, do you count the number of times you can jump rope? Lucy counts how many times she jumps rope. She finds out how many times she jumps rope. She starts with a number 1, and then 2, and it stops right there, in the middle of the sentence, at the word and. You have to go to the next volume to see it pick right up with keeps on counting for as long as she keeps on jumping rope.
Good grief.
If you're trying to collect these books, now there's a risk you'll buy, say, volume 2 from one place and volume 3 from another, and only then discover that volume 3 is from the 8-volume set and volume 2 is from the 6-volume set. Now, they're actually pretty easy to tell apart when you can see them. For one thing, each volume has its starting and ending letters on the front, telling you it contains definitions from F to H, say. And if they're simple letters like F and H, that's the 8-volume set. If it says GR to MI, that's the 6-volume set. Plus, the 8-volume set has a black logo, while the 6-volume set has red instead. Now, the life of the Charlie Brown Dictionary did not end in 1973. In, I believe it was 1999, the Charlie Brown Dictionary was used as the base for an English Chinese dictionary, one intended for native Chinese speakers who needed to learn English. This book turns it into an English-Chinese dictionary by including all of the English definitions of English words, as well as translating them into Chinese. This works rather oddly, given the odd format of the Charlie Brown Dictionary, as rather than placing an English word and then the definition in Chinese, it has an example English sentence, then the Chinese translation of that sentence, then a similar sentence, not using the English word, but in English, then the Chinese translation of that sentence. On one hand, it does give the reader some example sentences, but on the other, this seems an awkward way to convey the meaning of a word to a foreign speaker. But what do I know? I'm no language education expert. The book remains heavily illustrated, although they use few of the images that were used in the English version. Rather than taking its images from the animated Peanuts specials, They use full-color images taken from various strips, standard Peanuts licensing art, and a few images that seem to have been reworked just for the book. The book doesn't reflect the changes in the language during the decades since the English version of the dictionary was published, and even that may not have reflected all the changes in the decades since the Rainbow Dictionary was first published. Oh, television is among the thousands of words defined. There's about 2,400 words in the Charlie Brown Dictionary. But computer isn't one of them. The word stewardess is in there, but not flight attendant. The only hint that someone was paying attention to the changes is that definition of gay. Yes, in that English-Chinese dictionary, it still says that Snoopy is gay, Snoopy is happy. But the picture chosen is one of Snoopy doffing his top hat while he dances, like he's part of a Broadway chorus line. He can be taken as gay for all meanings of the term there. And hey, if you want more insight about Peanuts and the books thereof, be sure to stop by the website at augh.com, that's A-A-U-G-H.com, where I always have news and notes about whatever catches my eye. And if you have comments about this podcast, let me hear them. Send them over to me at questions@augh.com. And until next time, may all your dictionaries be high definition. May you be happy whether or not you're gay. And may all your griefs be good ones.